Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Desperate House Witches. I'm Dorian Wallace.
I'm Raina Starr. Welcome! She's back!
How y'all doing?
Y'all heard my big mouth last week. Now you get to hear my sister. Okay, so before we get into shit, all right, so welcome to this week's episode of How Do You Impeach a President? But we'll get to that in a minute. It's criminal weekend. Oh, it's criminal investigation weekend, my sister said, and I have to agree. Before we do that, we must thank our wonderful sponsor. But before we thank our wonderful sponsor, I'll thank her first. So, guess what? The incredible Dorothy Morrison has done a reissue, or is about to do a reissue, of Utterly Wicked. Now, I don't know about y'all. But this book came out in 2007, and Sis and I scooped up a bunch of these books, not realizing that they were going to go out of print. I had no idea. So now another publisher has picked it up, thanks to Red Wheel Wiser, and they have done new artwork. Amy Blackthorne, our good buddy, is doing the foreword, so excited. And so happy for Dorothy Morrison, our sponsor. We love her to pieces. So y'all need to get to www.wickedwitchstudios.com and get yourself some fine pagan goods. Lots of good spell stuff, oils, sprays, occasional candles, books. You know she's written a lot of books. Get on it. She's got all kinds of stuff, poppets, poppet pins. Oh, yes. If you need to stock up, please go and do that. But we are very excited because, yes, the new updated Utterly Wicked is going to be released, and we will have her on to discuss it in the coming weeks. So excited. So, and if you need any of Dorothy Morrison's products shipped to you overseas, check out theangrycauldron.com. They do her international shipping, and they've got some cool stuff of their own. So, for those of you who are new to the show, hi! We're so glad to have y'all. ¿Cómo está? ¿Cómo va? And hello to all. So, Desperate House Witches, just in case you don't know, is not a G, PG, or even an R-rated show. So, if bad language, dirty talk, bodily functions, and things of that nature will upset you, this is not your show. I am very proud of the fact that we make this announcement at the beginning of the show before I let fly. But I am about to let fly. You have been warned.
Okay. Go for it, sis.
Oh, holy shit. So Grandpa Munster, also known as Rudy Giuliani, his two business partners were arrested yesterday. And guess what these fuckers had? One-way tickets out of the country.
I'm
sure enough money to sustain them. Oh, you know what? But here's the thing. All of these different things are happening. You know, this is just the most incredible shit show I have ever seen. And I have seen some shit shows. I've been around a while. Unbelievable. So, I mean, you know, every minute, you can't even keep up. You know, over the summer, things would hit at an alarming rate with all of these, you know, I'm going to put this law into place and screw up with, you know, screw all these people, and then I'm going to withdraw it and look like a hero. No, asshole, you're the one who put the shit into place to begin with. Now people in Turkey are dying. The Kurds who fought on our side against ISIS, we have now abandoned them. We pulled up. And they're being killed. Our friends are being killed. So our name in the world is crap. And, you know, we've talked about traveling and the desire to travel. And he has made it impossible, or at the very least, treacherous. You know, I deal with people internationally, and every time I have to call someone new, it's like, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm calling from America. Please don't hate me. I didn't vote for him. It's unbelievable the amount of guilt, and I had nothing to do with this, but the amount of guilt at just being an American now, the embarrassment, I've never felt like this in my whole life. And I'm so glad that Nani is doing the impeachment. Go Nani.
Yeah.
That's what we call Nancy Pelosi around here. That's Italian for granny. So, Nani is on the scene. Do it. Doing it. So hopefully, you know, a lot of people, it took a while because you want the support of the American people. And for the longest time, people were like, is this really necessary? Do we have to impeach? And it has just gotten to a critical mass where, that really is the only solution. So I'm glad that the American people are coming along, and it seems like every day there's more support for this impeachment. And I know you witches out there, we keep doing our shit, trying to, you know, bring down this president. Okay, I think shit's starting to move, you know? I mean, of course the mundane answer is usually the right answer, but I like to think that we're helping out with our spells and, you know, and our belief system that enables us to throw energy at a moment's notice. I think that's a good skill. Energy and energy directing is very important and can do a lot of good. It can do great harm, but it can do great good. You know, and I liken it to, because people have said to me, well, you know, we shouldn't do that, and what if it bounces back? And I'm like, you know what? Here's the question everybody always asks. If you could go back and kill Hitler, would you? And most people are like, yeah, of course I would. Well, is genocide okay in any country? Well, I mean, I'm just saying, is genocide okay in any country? You know, so what are we actually saying here? We just want this crap to stop. We want children to not be in cages. You know, we want our healthcare protected. We want, you know, we want people that aren't white to be safe. We want people who aren't Christian to be safe. And we're not just talking about us, but we're at risk. And now these fuckers, guess what? Supreme Court time, like we warned everybody, Supreme Court is now split on whether or not people can be fired if they're gay.
Yeah. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Exactly.
God,
so, of course, that was, you know, you get, you know, the man had the opportunity to install two Supreme Court justices, which is what we bitched about all through 2015 and beyond. And this is what we fucking got. So, you know, there are wages to be paid for mistakes. This is it. And a lot of people are going to suffer if this doesn't go the right way. We are holding out hope for John Roberts. He's obviously right of center, but he's intelligent. And, you know, when we saw him through his hearing to be Supreme Court Justice, we were all very concerned. But we did watch, and we were very pleased that the man was smart. So hopefully Roe v. Wade will be safe. There's another case about to hit the Supreme Court. That could overturn it. It's in danger again. Oh, yes. So, you know, we are looking at stepping back, 50 years.
His ass needs to be in jail. All his
Well, it's not just him. He's not the only one.
Oh, I know.
Everybody, Everybody he installed needs to be recalled. Pence is now as big a crap. I mean, he's, in some regards, I like to think that Pence is even worse, especially for his hating himself. And I do believe that Mike Pence is a self-hating gay man, and that's a shame, because no one should ever hate themselves like that to that extent. It's sad. It's very sad.
Yeah.
What can I say? So, yeah, I mean, there's just a lot going on, and I would like to encourage all of our witch friends who are listeners. And by the way, sis, you know, I did a little digging, and we have a fairly interesting number of Christian listeners. So I want to say to our Christian listeners, I want to say to our Christian listeners, we are grateful that you are here. We appreciate, even if your intention is to not like us, we are grateful that you are here listening. We really are.
Yeah,
because I think the more time you spend listening to people of differing opinions, the more open you can be. It doesn't always work out that way, but you know what? We have hope. We have hope. We do not wish you ill. We do not wish you ill. I hope y'all understand that. We want to live peacefully. We do. But if you are going to be a racist, a homophobe, or in any way hateful to anyone who's not like you, you probably don't want to listen to this show. Just saying. Just saying.
Yeah.
Because we are pretty left-leaning. We are left-leaning liberals, and we like everybody, but we will not tolerate hatred. And if I catch anybody spewing any kind of crap, I will be very respectful of you if you are very respectful of us. And you, sometimes it's good to keep your thoughts to yourself. I do it every day.
Yep.
And there are days I don't. But for the most part, I do. No, most part, I'm a pretty good girl. You're pretty well behaved. No, I'm a good girl. You know, I try to be. Not always, but I try. So, you know, I mean, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that we can share ideas. And as I've said, I said this to somebody this week. I said, the only difference between you and me is that you believe in new gods and I believe in old gods. That's it.
Yep.
I still have bills and shit just like you. I still have things I'm afraid of just like you. You know?
Yep.
So, I mean, there's really not a whole lot of difference. We just believe different shit. You know?
And that's
so
okay.
How you been?
Not too bad. Just, I mean, like, super busy. Like I was saying, because I know you're not feeling well. It's like we had the plague come visit us for a couple weeks in a row. Like, 1 week I was sick, and then the next week my husband was sick, and then the next week my son was sick. It's like, okay, that's enough. But I am so enjoying this fucking weather. Oh, my God. It's finally fall here in the South. Kind of. You know,
the next two weeks,
kind of fall that we get.
Yeah, for the next 2 weeks, we will have fall-like temperatures before winter hits.
Exactly. Then we'll have an ice storm. And maybe another one in February, you know?
I know, and then we'll be bitching that we're cold.
Oh, no,
yeah.
I won't. You will not catch
me
bitching that.
No, you won't, but everybody else will. Yeah, that's true.
You're and I understand
true.
It.
You very rarely bitch about being cold because you're good.
I'm better about bitching when I'm hot, too. I think I've actually become acclimated. After 25 years of being here, I think I'm finally acclimated to southern summers. It wasn't that bad for me this year, and everybody else was complaining. It was so weird. I'm like, okay, but I'm not actually that hot. I mean, it's warm. I'm sweating.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I could still breathe.
You're not dying. Right.
Yeah,
and you know
exactly
what I think that is? I think our temperature here, and I've said this before, because of climate change, my belief is that our weather and New York's is starting to match.
Yeah.
Because I believe everything is shifting. It has not been as sweaty as it had been, but it has been hot, absolutely. But, you know, climate change is going to ensure that we have probably one of the worst winters on record. We've had one of the hottest summers on record this year, so it all swings back and forth. But, you know, finally, I think people are starting to get the message. Unfortunately, I think it's a little too late. But that doesn't mean don't take all the precautions possible. I think it's very important to do that. But I think we're kind of in a dire situation right now, and it's worse than people realize. So I think about that. I think about potential grandchildren, and it's disconcerting at the very least. But I'm also in the middle of a move. So being in the middle of a move, holy crap! You know what? The more shit I move and throw out, the more shit seems to appear. What is that about? Un-fucking believable. I have thrown out bags and bags of shit. And every time I go back into that fucking closet, it's like Fibber McGee's closet. Every time you think it's empty, oh, hell no. There's a ton more shit to fall out. And for those of you too young to know what Fibber McGee's closet is, go look that shit up. You have the internet. Damn it. Oh. Seriously.
That was funny.
I'm telling you. Unreal. Unreal.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, that's been fun. I've been dealing with idiocy at work. It has been all I could do to not cast a fucking spell on a coworker this week. Girl.
Uh-oh.
Wearing my mask.
Uh-oh.
This man, he was wearing my nerves. So aggravating.
Clearly, he doesn't know how dangerous that is.
Well, you know, if I had been younger, in my younger days, it would take absolutely nothing for me to just want to throw something at somebody. But as I've gotten older, I'm like, is this energy worth throwing at this person? Who will it help? Who will it hurt? I remember that there are children involved, so you don't want to do that. I mean, but there's just sometimes you just want to take a big old fat ball and knock some fucking sense into somebody and throw that shit.
Oh, God. It's like, meow, boom, you're in the freezer. Yeah. So, and, you know, and I got to say, because I work with other people's clothes all day, sometimes it's hard for me, too. It's like, I have your tags in my hand. Don't piss me off, but not
seriously,
a whole lot of people know I'm a witch.
I will fuck up your shit.
Uh-huh. I did have to get rid of one customer, though.
I will switch these tags on you, bitch, and you will think your panties shrunk. I'm just saying.
Yep. Oh, I've got it to the point where I had a customer who was, I mean, making me feel really uncomfortable. You know, turned around and told me, asked me, you know, said, "Oh, I'd really like to come across that or around that counter and smack your ass." You know, but
I wanted to come over there and beat a man to death.
Yeah, well, I took care of him. He doesn't come in when I'm there anymore. And when he does, I have our seamstresses. Gigantic scissors. I mean, these things are like sword scissors. They're almost the length from my elbow to my wrist. They're that long. They're huge. They're massive. And I know how to wield a knife. So it wouldn't be nothing for me.
I know. We learned how to use knives in childhood. Shadow taught me how to throw when I was a young woman.
Yep.
We like our knives. Our kids like their knives, too. They come by it honest. So I got to tell you, I'm very excited. Storm Fairy Wolf is our guest tonight. Oh, I'm telling you, I almost pissed myself when he said yes. I really almost did. I was like, really? You'll be on? Really? You will? Honest? Really? It's not a joke? I was like, wait till I tell Seuss.
Oh, my goodness. Speaking of which, do you want to bring him on?
Yes, would you please?
All right. Yes, ma'am.
Awesome. Thank
you. All right, you guys are going to hear a little bit of ringing.
Welcome to Zoom. Enter your meeting ID followed by pound.
Hey, mute that.
Hold on a second. Oh, no. Hold on a second.
You have not entered any numbers. Please re-enter your meeting ID followed by pound.
Wow.
Hold on. I'm going to have to hang that up because I
You have not entered any numbers. Please re-enter your meeting ID followed by pound.
Dude. No. Hold on. Okay. I accidentally hung up on Sis. She's going to kill me. Sis, I'm still listening. Hold on. Hold on. I'm getting you back in. There we go. All right. We're going to get Sis back in, and then we're going to figure out how to call in Storm.
Thanks for having me on.
Don't kill me. Okay, so what I was saying, I was trying to hang up on his. I don't have a dial pad on here to put in his number. I am not shitting you. Okay.
Can I call him in?
You know what? We may be able to do that. Like, if you can call him in on your phone and do, like, a two-way call.
Oh, baby.
Oh, baby. Let's have a three-way.
Let me... I don't think he's on that specific team, but that's okay.
Yeah, no, I know.
All right.
I know.
Hold on. I'm going to try to call him. I don't know if I can join these together, but I'm going to try. So,
okay.
Hold on.
All right. Do, 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 do.
Hang on, I can't hear shit. Hold on a second.
Okay.
All right. So I am going to actually send you, Sis, I'm going to send you a number.
Okay.
Hang on.
Okie doke. I'm going to pull up the dial screen.
Okay. So you have to be on Facebook Messenger to get this information.
Okay. I've got it.
Are you in? Is she in?
Okay.
Cool.
I got him.
Can you do that for me? Because I'm concerned. I don't want to drop him or you.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you, darling.
Hold on. You're welcome.
Thank you, my love.
And... all right, we are dialing. One ring a dingy.
Hello, hello.
Hi. I'm so sorry about that.
No worries.
Okay. Well, can I just take a minute and like totally fangirl?
Oh, that's very sweet.
Hang on. Give me a second. Oh my God! It's Storm Fairy Wolf. I'm freaking out. Okay, thank you. I want you to know, I have never done that over any guest ever. I didn't do that when Raymond Buckland was on with us. I didn't do I talked to Dorothy Morrison. I have never fangirled like that ever.
Well, I am very honored. Thank you very much.
Oh, well, I the greater honor is ours. So, I have to say, I'm a little bit, how do I say, A little miffed with you, as much as I love you. And the reason is, I have a reason. I was listening to your guided meditation this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I was so, so relaxed and so happy. It was on YouTube. And my eyes started to close, and I'm like, oh, no, I got to stay awake and work. But then I looked for the next one, and there was no next one. What up, dude? You left me hanging.
Well, thank you very much. Well, I do have more guided meditations that are currently just part of our Black Rose online course. But that is actually a project that I am currently working on, is making some other guided trance journeys available. So thank you. That's very encouraging.
Oh, my gosh. I love you for that. Thank you. I was like, no, you can't just give me one. What are you doing? One? No. Because I was like, oh, subscribe. Very good. Excellent. So I was very happy. Because I don't even think about the fact that a lot of our guests even have podcasts or you know, there's very few folks who actually make me aware of them. So when I found yours, I was like, oh, lovely. Let me get on here and dig in. And it was so nice. And I'm like, your voice is so beautiful. And I'm just sitting there really happy. And I'm like, oh, that was a good one. Let's hear the next one. And I'm like, oh, no. What? So, yeah, I'm very, very glad. So I have to tell you, I think of you very much as a real Renaissance type of man. A lot of folks, you know, they have their specialty and they run with that. But you do so many things, and I'm like exhausted just reading everything that you do, because you do teach and you do have a shop and you do poetry and you do guided meditation. And I'm hoping you can teach me about, and I know we don't have a lot of time, but I'm not very much experienced in the fairy tradition, so I want to know about that.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're really, you know, like I tell people, sis set up this show so I could learn shit, because I don't know anything.
She does. She doesn't give herself enough credit, but she loves learning.
I think that's a general problem I think a lot of people have. You know, it was just, as you were just listing all of these things that I do, you know, your first statement was that, oh, that I do so much. And I'm thinking, really? I don't necessarily see it that way. I also have partners who are very, very active. And
yeah.
I know my husband, Chaz Bogan, he is always out in the workshop. He's got his laser machine. He's making wood art and, you know, and all these different things. Devin is always like working on some project, and, you know, he's got his fourth book coming out, you know, so, yeah, I guess that's just kind of what we do. But I almost feel like I'm probably the laziest of the three of us, you know, when it comes down to it. So thank you for that.
It's really a relative – I mean, laziness is really a relative term, though. You know, Sis and I have a show. Okay, here you go. This is what we're selling.
Right on.
You know. My sister is talented. I don't have a lot of her talent. I mean, she's an artist, and she writes, and she does all these great things. I just have a big mouth. That's what I got.
No.
That's it.
Maybe
that's your superpower.
She doesn't give herself enough credit.
Well, it is my superpower. I can talk to beat the shirt off of anybody.
you're definitely in the right profession.
Well, yes, that is true. That is true. You got to be a talker to have a show. But I want to know what you're working on. I want to know some about the fairy tradition. I want your opinions on things that are going on right now.
I have so many opinions.
I know.
I'm happy to share them with you.
Please.
In what order? So you want to know about the fairy tradition? What am I working on now? What I'm working on now,
yes.
I'm actually, I was kind of in between projects as a typical Pisces. You know, I'm kind of working on this, working on that, working out three things at the same time. But I think the main thing now I've decided is that I'm really focused on a book that is really about sex magic for gay men within the context of witchcraft.
Right.
Because there really isn't anything out there, you know, quite like it. And so many times I feel that we as queer people have to translate, you know, what we find in the world, whether it is we're watching a, you know, a rom-com or we're attending a Wiccan ritual, you know, there is certain symbolism at play that is often heterosexual in focus. And so for the queer person, we just know that we have to translate that, you know, in our brain. We've done that for generations. We translate things to make it applicable to us. And so my goal is to make some material, put some material out there in which our people don't have to make that translation. So then it'll be the heterosexual people that will have to translate it, you know, if they indeed are inspired, you know, to use this. So my focus right now is to kind of focus a little bit more on kind of my home base, my roots, you know, my queer community. So that's kind of where I'm focused right now. I'm also got some ideas for a couple classes that would be online, offered online to go along with that project. So that's what I'm really kind of focusing on now. But I have a couple other things that are kind of in my back pocket. So we'll see actually what sticks. what takes you to the next level.
Awesome. I think the idea of a book about queer magic is fucking phenomenal. I've not seen many that actually address it in this manner. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, I mean, I'm bisexual. I'm part of the community. And it's,
I'm the only straight in the room.
Yeah.
Usually,
a lot of the time,
usually,
you are, but we love you.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I'm used to it because most of my friends are, you know, LGBTQ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of us in witchcraft, just because I think that witchcraft at its core, not necessarily talking about like, you know, the different religions of witchcraft, but kind of witchcraft at its core is something that kind of traditionally goes against the societal grain, you know, and so it's something that really is about kind of exploring the confines, you know, of societal expectation and then kind of moving beyond that. You know, it's kind of like a type of tantra, you know, in that regard, that it is about transgression to some degree. So you transgress social norms and then you're able to gain power from that. And so I feel a lot of queer people are attracted to witchcraft and other forms of paganism because we do find it to be more affirming, you know, of an individual expression as opposed to, oh, we all have to be in these masses and this organized religion and everybody doing it the same way. So I think that's probably one of the main reasons that we have such a draw. And also, I mean, come on, let's give it up for Doreen Valente, who wrote The Charge of the Goddess and that famous line, all acts of love and pleasure are my rituals. So that has definitely been kind of a core spiritual philosophy for me since I was young. So that also kind of drew me in. It was a safe space for queer people for the most part.
It is a faith that does not condemn sexuality.
Yeah.
This is why.
Yeah, and generally that's true. I mean, we are seeing some aspects of now, you know, the larger or expanded pagan community. We are seeing, you know, some groups, you know, within the larger pagandom who are quite conservative and even sexually conservative and not accepting, for example, trans people, you know, which just to me is just baffling to me. Just baffling to me. But
yeah,
there you go.
Agree.
I guess there's room for everybody. Although I don't want them at my party. But, you know.
Yeah. Thank you. Which leads me to something else that I wanted to ask you. Because the last time I was at PantheaCon was the Z Budapest debacle.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you heard the announcement today that 2020 is the last PantheaCon.
Yeah. End of an era.
End of an era.
That's big. That's really big.
It is really big.
There's a lot, and it's very complicated. I think there's a lot going on, you know, with that. It's kind of beyond my pay grade to kind of like delve in there and try to figure out, you know, the ins and outs of that since I've never been part of the organizational team. But it seems very complex. But part of it is also just the social environment. You know, I'm seeing a lot of, honestly, a lot of people on the left, and I consider myself a total leftist. You know, I see a lot of people on the left who are just very extreme, and there's no room for discussion. And, you know, and in some cases, I understand that. You know, I don't think that there's really any room for discussion when somebody is saying, hey, these people aren't people. You know, or these
yeah.
kind of women are not women, or these kind of men are not men. You know, if your problem is rooted in somebody being less than, well, then no, we don't have anything to talk about. You know,
right.
and that
yeah.
shouldn't be allowed, you know. But it's not always that cut and dry. You know, there's some other issues that, you know, maybe we do have to have nuance, or maybe, and maybe it would be okay if, you know, you put on an event and some people protested. You know, that's our right, you know, to protest. There was, as you were talking about at that Pantheacon, you know, with mm-hmm. Zoo Budapest, there was a large, quiet protest that was going on in the halls of the Doubletree
mm-hmm.
Hotel. And
I
thought that was beautiful. I thought that was so beautiful.
Yeah.
And I remember well, we were told that Zoo Budapest actually wanted to issue a formal apology. And so we actually, when our little group, we put our ritual on hold. And so we could
oh,
zip
wow.
down to witness her apology. And so we went there as a neutral party. We weren't there to support her. We weren't there to condemn her. We were just going to hear her apology. And quite honestly, her apology was a non-apology.
Exactly.
And so it was really, it was very disappointing to me. And she does represent a wave of feminism, I think, that is thankfully on its way out, you know, and
yeah,
I understand everything that she has fought for. She's fought for some really good things over the years, but her opinion on this makes her squarely wrong on the wrong side of history. And it's
yeah.
not appropriate for us to feed that or allow that, you know, to be in our spaces. So I understand people getting upset, you know, and wanting her not to present or, you know, whatnot. At something like Pantheacon that is a public event, it's open to everybody. If you want to have your exclusionary spaces, I think that's valuable, but that should be done in private, not at a public
yeah.
event, you know, so
exactly.
that's just kind of my
I
take
agree.
On it. You know, I think
I
that
agree.
Exclusionary spaces are actually important, you know, cis women, you know, cisgendered women should have a space on their own if they feel that that's what they need. Trans women should
mm-hmm.
have a space on their own if that's what they need. But I think
mm-hmm,
just
yeah.
women's groups should
yeah.
have both cis and trans because they're just different types of women, you know,
yeah,
but
exactly.
not being a woman,
women.
I'm not here to tell people what they should do, but I'm just,
right.
but you asked my opinion and I'm an expert on my opinion. So.
Me too. Yeah, I love it. Love it.
I don't know. If just my little opinion, you know, and now I don't know where I was going with that. Just lost my train of thought. But I mean, okay. Bodies are just bodies. I've always seen people's spirits. You know, that's
mm-hmm.
what matters to me. I mean, you can decorate a box till the cows come home, but who's inside is what's more important. You know,
I hear you.
That,
you know,
that's
particular.
I've never understood that.
Yeah,
you know,
I just you know, I mean, and again, I understand the need at times to have a space
yeah.
that is specific and private, and that's not, but that's not what the issue is. You know, to me, the issue
right.
is just one of dignity, and
sure.
also one group of people telling another group of people that their own personal experience is invalid. And
yeah,
that's
yeah.
the thing that really
that's,
gets me. I mean, it's like when I was growing up and I first came out as gay, you know, I would hear a lot, oh, you just haven't been with the right woman.
Oh,
well, who
God.
Are you to tell me that? You know,
right.
you know, I'm telling you what my experience is. Oh, well, nobody's born gay. Well, no, let me tell you. Yes, I was.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
I remember being in kindergarten and knowing I was
uh-huh.
different and having, you know, crushes on boys, but knowing to keep it quiet. You know, you just kind of
sure.
you pick that up from society. So, you know, but there were still so many people that wanted to invalidate my personal experience, you know, tell me, oh, well, you're wrong, because it's not their experience. And now, and we see a type of fundamentalism and this social fundamentalism fed, of course, by religious fanaticism, but it doesn't even have
sure.
to be at the level of a fanatic anymore. It's just been so present, ingrained in our over culture that people just
yeah.
kind of come pre-installed now. You know, with those ideas. And thankfully we have the information age for good and for ill, you know,
sure.
but we can get messages out there. There can be more visibility. I think visibility is the key. That's, you know,
yeah.
part of my work is to be as visible as possible, both as a gay man, but also as somebody who practices polyamory. You know, I'm in
sure.
an open triad with my two partners. but also yeah. as a warlock.
And we love
them
somebody
both. Who is practicing the craft. Oh, they're awesome. Yeah, they're
oh, yeah,
little powerhouses.
They are.
They're probably working on projects right now as I speak.
Aw.
We're going
to
have to wrangle
that
up Chad. We haven't wrangled
What's
up
that
Chad.
Oh, yeah.
We have not.
We'll try to convince him. He doesn't tend to like to do, like, speaking events or, you know, things
yeah,
like that. He's a Taurus.
Fun.
He doesn't want to talk about himself. But he's awesome. He's awesome. Maybe kind of poke him. We'll give him some prodding.
Yeah, I mean, we're not threatening. We don't ask hard questions. You know, you're here to relax and just, you know, hang out. Really. He doesn't have to put on a show. We don't require that at all. We just want
well,
to
Well, we'll
talk
certainly, we'll see what we can do. We will see what we can do.
But anyway, so, you know, it's, of course, very important for there to be safe spaces. And your first person who's actually openly said, it's okay to have private spaces at certain times, but it's the intent. If you're intending to be hurtful, if you are disrespectful when you tell somebody, listen, this is just for a certain type of person right now, you know, we are not trying to exclude you or anything. We would love to have a private thing with you as well, but this is something different. You're the first person to ever actually address that publicly and say, it's okay to have separate things. And I really respect that because it gives credence to, you know, not everything is for everyone. It's like,
well, that's true.
I don't.
And I'm certain that I'm not the first person to have said this, but I appreciate it. Thank you. But I think that it's something that no matter how many times it's been said, it bears repeating. Because it's so easy to forget, and it's so easy to assume, you know, and that's something, too, that I've seen. I think we're all kind of shell-shocked. You know, we all have a form of PTSD, you know, kind of. We're watching a lot of bad social and political things happen in our country for the last, you know, couple few years. And, you know, and longer than that, too, but it really accelerated the last couple few years. And, you know, I do think that we are maybe a little trigger-happy because of it, too. We're so willing just to jump on people for any little slight. And like this thing right now, that's like people are getting so upset about Ellen. You know, what did Ellen DeGeneres do?
Right.
She was at a game. I don't know. I'm like, seriously. She's at a game and she's being friendly because she practices kindness. You know, what did people expect her to do? Like walk up to him and kick him in the groin? I mean, my goodness. You know, I don't understand. It's not like
if Michelle Obama can get past
it.
Seriously, he's not Cheney. And if Michelle Obama can find good in him as a person, I can try.
That's a thing, too. And I've seen the memes with that, too, where it's like kind of trying to shame Michelle Obama, you know, for doing the same thing. I'm like, where does this end, though? You know, and I get it. Like, hey, here's the thing. If you, for example, if you were feeling that way and you found yourself at a hockey game or a baseball game or a sports ball game, I have no idea what they were doing. You know, and you found yourself with George W. Bush and you wanted to kick him in the shins, that's your right. They will take you away because he's under guard, you know, for the rest of his life.
Of
but
course.
That's your right. But you can't expect other people to do that. And it's not even the same. I'm like, she was somebody that really helped our community by bringing that much needed visibility at a time that there was precious little. So to me, I really feel like, you know, the queer community should remember that, you know, and I'm not saying give people a free pass for bad behavior, but this is hardly bad behavior. You know, in fact, I'm seeing a lot of bad behavior just from random social media people on the left. And trust me, it's happening on the right too, but I don't pay attention to that because, you know, as far as I'm concerned, they're wackadoodle anyway. I don't care. You know, but on the left, I'm like, I'm seeing the wackadoodle side of the left now too. And it's a little been concerning for me, you know, because I always spent most of my life feeling like I'm a bleeding heart liberal. I'm as left as you can get. I'm like, oh no, there's a whole other level that I am not aware of. You know,
I'm a liberal that likes guns.
Conspiracy,
you know?
Things going on. Ooh. And I'm like, oh, come on, peace out. I can't do this with you. I know I can't go to a flat earth place. I can't debate the fact that we went on the moon. I don't want to have those discussions with people. So, you know, and that's happening more on the list.
I think you're thinking of, like, libertarians, because, I don't know, they lean more that way. Yeah,
I'm probably going to lose followers now, but yeah, I just don't understand that.
Well,
libertarians are just Republicans who are into weed. It's never really made sense to me. You know, I'm like, aren't we supposed to help each other?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I'm not like saying, oh, the Democratic Party is where it's at, you know, whatever. But if in terms of the two big ones, I mean, that certainly I'm choosing that before Republicanism, I'll tell you that. But we need to work on that. You know, we need to make better political systems. We need better representation. And the thing is, we need to be involved. And I say this as a lazy liberal person, too. You know, I haven't really been involved, like, on the local level. I don't go to, like, Democratic meetings or whatever. But now I'm thinking, gosh, maybe I should this whole time. I should have been participating more, you know, other than just voting. You know, I've voted in all the elections since I've been eligible. I think it's very important to be able to do that, to have your voice. Whether or not you think it's going to matter, I kind of think of it as the same as like using your turn signals. You know, so many people will tell me, oh, it doesn't matter. I don't use my turn signal because it doesn't matter. How hard is it? Just flick the fucking switch and merge. Let people know you're coming. You know, it's the same type of thing.
God,
if you don't think it's going to work, it's not going to hurt you to try. You know, so that's only one part of the problem and only one part of the solution. Yes, we need to get out there and vote. But we have to be visible and we have to talk and we have to be able to listen. You know, there's some stuff that I heard, you know, right after Trump was elected, you know, that I'm hearing from people on the right, people that voted for Trump. And they voted for him because he didn't make them feel stupid. And, you know, that's definitely something that on the left, you know, we've been really good at is making other people feel stupid. You know, so this is really like something that has got labeled onto us, and kind of rightly so. You know, the whole idea of the coastal liberal elites, and, you know, I don't know how elite I feel, you know, struggling to pay my mortgage and, you know, all of those things normal people do. But I get it.
Oh my God.
You know, what's that?
But by the same,
I was saying California prices, oh my God, I don't know how you do it.
Well, I was born here, and so I have nothing to really compare it to.
I
think maybe I'll just keep it at that level. You know, once I realize, I think, you know, how much extra money I would have by moving someplace else, I probably wouldn't be quite as happy. But I love where I live. I love the San Francisco Bay Area.
Yeah,
I love the weather. I love the culture.
Wanna...
It's pretty diverse. Right, exactly. I'll vacation other places, and you know, but I always want to come home to SF area.
Oh, that's nice. But what I was going to say was, you know, now I lost where I was going.
I'm sorry.
What were we talking about before where you live?
Oh, gosh. We were talking about politics, really.
I got it back. You were talking about how the left tends to make people feel stupid.
Yeah.
But you know what? I've tried the tack where I dumb it down, and I have to be honest with you. I don't think it's a big deal to require people to read. I don't believe it's too much to ask people to be aware. I don't think it's too much to ask people to try to get over their prejudice and accept people who aren't like them. If that makes me elite, then you know what? My happy ass is going to stay elite, also struggling to make it in this world. But I'm kind of tired of people trying to make people feel bad for having an education or having knowledge
reading.
So,
and I don't think any of those things bar us from, you know, I think that there's a way for us to make our argument and make our point without us resorting to the dumbing down of somebody else's belief or culture or breeding. You know, this is something else too that I will hear sometimes, like people will make fun of, you know, oh, well, they're ignorant because they're in the South or whatever. And that's really inappropriate. You know, I mean, sure,
we
could look at voting records and whatever,
but
there's plenty of fine people, that live in the South. But then I hear,
sure,
you know, strange insults like, you know, inbreeding, hillbillies, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, this is not a way to get people to get on your side, you know. And I
agree.
Get it. It can be cathartic.
Agreed.
It can be cathartic
agreed.
When you're
upset. It's not appropriate. Right. It's not appropriate to insult people no matter who they are. You shouldn't insult people and
right.
make them feel like you're better than they are. But sometimes,
right.
because I do live in the South, as my sister does, when we're talking to people, you know, they immediately are turned off because we use proper words and we know how to complete a sentence.
Totally.
I mean, I'm not trying to be mean, but
it's
really true.
Totally.
You know?
No, and I get that. I
yeah.
totally get that. And it just doesn't make it okay for us to do it. And you
right.
know, and so, but absolutely, I'm not saying that you are, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that, like, this
right.
is what I've seen kind of like in social media, you know, it's
yeah.
been growing and growing and growing. And,
yeah.
you know, I can't even say that I haven't participated in that, you know, before, because, you know, you might find
yeah.
like a meme that you, oh, it's a funny meme. And then you post it and then somebody says, hey, do you know what this means? Or, you know, have you thought of it this way? And there's been a couple times
yeah.
I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't think of it that way. And so I'll go in and like mm-hmm. delete it or, you know, or whatnot. And, but I don't know. I just think that there's got to be a way, you know, for us to, I mean, first of all, if we really want to be effective and if we want to feel good, I mean, there's that whole thing too of like, you know, we want to feel like we're doing something important. You know, we want to feel that we're doing something good. I think that not resorting to their level, you know,
mm-hmm.
is what we need to be focused on, even though it might feel good in the short term. It's not helping
yeah.
us out in the long term. And I'm not saying they don't
yeah.
deserve it, because there's a lot of them that I think absolutely do deserve it. But do we deserve it? Do we
yeah.
deserve to dumb ourselves down, you know, so that, you know, just so it feels good in the moment? We've got a long
right.
haul here. There's a long battle ahead of us.
Yeah.
We are having a culture war, you know,
yeah,
and
boy,
so, and
yeah.
and we have to win, you know? I mean, they're already
yeah.
trying to take women's reproductive rights away. We're watching this happen. It's like the precursor to The Handmaid's Tale. I'm surprised
oh, yeah.
that not more people are out in the streets, but, you know, in a capitalist
so
society,
much.
Everybody's got to go to work, you know.
I know. And not only that, but we're being bombarded. I mean, you know, you and I were talking earlier about, you know, whether or not somebody can be fired from their job just because
right.
they're gay.
I mean, that's happening right
the
now.
Supreme Court. Yeah.
Right now, they were listening
and
we're
they're
expecting
split.
A decision sometime. Yeah, totally split. We are waiting for a decision. I heard like summer. You know, we might have
yeah.
to wait till the summer to get a decision on this. But right now, we're hanging in the balance. And it is a weird
yeah.
balance. It is a split court. And this is exactly what we feared would happen, that there's
yeah.
going to be a major rollback of civil rights for minority groups across the board. And we're watching that happen. We're watching that get chipped away. So I'm hopeful that the United States Supreme Court will make the right decision and will ensure that everyone, you know, has equal access, you know, to housing and jobs and, you know, the whole thing that, you know, hello, America is supposed to be based on. But we are kind of just biting our fingernails, waiting to see, you know, what's the next move, what's going to happen. That
yeah.
would be very concerning, obviously, you know, to have a decision that essentially enshrines our lack of rights, you know, on
yeah.
a federal level, you know. And the thing that really gets me about it is most, and you probably already know this, but most heterosexual people, most heterosexual Americans don't even know that that's an issue.
Right.
You know, most straight people that I know have said, well, you can't be fired for being gay, because
yeah.
to them, they were told that like America is equal for everybody. You know,
uh-huh.
I'm like, oh,
yeah,
this is where that
much.
Invisible, that idea of invisible privilege comes in, you know, and I know that that's a buzzword. People are like, oh, I'm not privileged because I'm poor. And of course, that's not what that means, you know,
exactly.
but the idea would be that, you know, oh, a straight person is privileged because they don't even have to think in those terms. You know, they don't have to worry that they're going to be fired because they're straight. No one's ever
right.
been fired because they're straight, but people are
right.
fired all the time across this country simply because it's revealed that they are gay or bisexual or transgender.
Yep.
There is no protection for us. And so this happens every day.
Yeah. It's scary.
So that's the kind of thing we're dealing with. And that's why I think it's so important for us to all be visible and to stand up and resist in our own little ways. You know, it doesn't have to mean that to be a resistor, it doesn't mean that you necessarily have to be out there on the streets. You know, you can resist in your own ways, just talking to family members, you know, writing letters to the editor, whatever it is, you know, but we all need to be participating in our shared reality. And so it's up to all of us to co-create that together.
Agreed. Bravo.
Definitely.
Yeah, it never occurred to me that, I mean, I've hidden more about being a witch than I have about being bisexual. I mean, it's like one of the first things everybody learns about me. So my company has known about me since probably a week after I walked in. You know,
right.
I never felt like I should have to hide that,
yeah.
You know? And now the fact is that even though I have been there a really long time and I'm a respected member of that community, if somebody decides they don't want me around, that's all they need to use.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty
sobering. A whole career destroyed in a moment.
Because somebody like one of the, you know, upper echelon of people decides that they're not okay with it. And yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
There's no legal recourse. And from like a corporate point of view, I don't know. I mean, it's very few corporations that are actually going to do the right thing just because it's the right thing. You know, more likely people are going to do the right thing because they find profit in it, you know, and not all the time, but most of the time, you know, so we can't really rely on corporations to just stand up and start doing the right thing. You know, that's why we need these protections in place. We need to ensure that everyone is going to be given a fair shot. And if we're not going to give people a fair shot, then, you know, we really need to sit down and go back to the drawing board and try to figure out, well, what the hell is this American dream supposed to be about anyway? I recognize it's never been actually realized, at least not for everyone. You know, it's never been fully realized for women, certainly not for people of color, you know, for LGBTQ+ people. You know, maybe some rich white dudes, you know, and maybe their wives, you know, feel like, you know, that they've gotten, you know, their piece of the pie and, you know, whatever. But there's so many people that are starving and it's largely invisible.
I don't think there are very many people in this world who will tell you that they have perfectly enough and that they are perfectly content. As a matter of fact, I find that rich people are some of the most miserable pieces of shit that I've ever met.
I'm thinking of a quote from Dorothy Parker, who's just one of my inspirations, Dorothy Parker. And I'm going to get the quote wrong, but people will have to look it up and correct me later. And, you know, they will. I've never met a rich person that I liked, but I think I'd be darling at it. And that kind of just, to me, kind of sums it up, you know, and like, it does seem to be like the more money somebody gets, it's like, I don't know, it's almost like the less human, you know, they become. And it's not because of the money, it's because of the greed, and it's because of the disconnection. I think that a lot of money allows people to have, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I think I've tried to avoid saying his name, you know, during this interview, but it's like non-President Trump, you know,
who
has been disconnected from real life for so long that no freaking clue, you know, what real life. I mean, we can watch this now. He has no idea what reality is. He doesn't know what the Constitution is. He doesn't know what the job is. I'm surprised he knows what room he's in at any given time, you know, but he is so disconnected. And part of that is, you know, money, of course. Part of it is, I guess, he just eats McDonald's all the time and now probably has dementia, but whatever. We'll see what the next stage brings.
You know, I just heard the other day why he does that. So nobody can poison him.
I heard that.
I'm like, dude.
It's one of those things like, is this
yourself.
True? Is this not true? I can't tell anymore.
Know.
Yeah.
It's like, is this National Enquirer? No, that came out of his mouth directly. You know, I don't know about that. Quote,
which doesn't mean it's true.
Yes,
I mean,
exactly.
Right off the bat, you know, but I don't know.
Oh, well,
I just, what that makes me feel like, though, when he says that, like he's afraid of getting poisoned, it just makes me feel like, oh, my God, he's going to poison people now. I just feel like he tells you, you know, like what he's going to do. Or what. It's like, what?
Sure.
He just drops in.
Yeah, he drops in. You know, that whole thing about the one thing that I think would be amazing about being rich that I think is the one thing he holds on to is the fact that, hey, who doesn't want to be able to tell absolutely everyone in the world to go fuck themselves at will?
Right. Yeah. That's
when you're
right.
rich, you can do that, you know?
Yeah,
I think that's a grand motivator there, yes. That would fit the personality profile pretty much exactly.
Holy
oh, my goodness.
Unbelievable. But, okay, so we have tangented off into the political region when I'm supposed to be learning about the fairy tradition.
This is a danger when you talk to me, I swear. But yes. But I would love to talk about fairy tradition.
Please do. Because we're going to have you back on because this was not enough time at all.
Well, I would be happy to. It's thus far been a lovely experience. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
But yes, please at least get me started so I have something to go on the fairy tradition.
My goodness. So people will often, it's very confusing, obviously, the fairy tradition. I like to start by saying it is a branding nightmare. And that is because so many things are called the fairy tradition and they are very different. And so the first thing that people will ask me about because they know that I'm gay, they'll say, oh, so it's radical fairies, right? Which, of course, is a queer spiritual system founded in part by the late Harry Hay. And no, I am not part of the radical fairies. I've never been part of the radical fairies. I know some radical fairies. I personally have too much of an aversion to glitter. And so that's not going to work for me. But the tradition that I work with is actually a tradition of witchcraft that was founded by the late Victor and Cora Anderson. And for your listeners, if they are familiar with the works of Starhawk, you know, most specifically her book, The Spiral Dance, she talks about the fairy witchcraft tradition in Victor Anderson. And gives a little bit of information about some of the practices, some of the core practices of fairy. So that's the tradition that I'm talking about. It's actually a lineaged initiatory tradition of witchcraft that stems back to the teachings of Victor and Cora Anderson, and presumably beyond them into antiquity, as Victor did claim a couple of childhood initiations which he's been claiming that there was, you know, kind of this older current, you know, that was brought forward. Who knows if that's true or not? It's not like there's, you know, physical evidence of that. But, you know, as the story goes, you know, he was initiated when he was 9 years old. And then later he would claim to be initiated into a coven of witches called the Harpies. And that would have been in Southern Oregon when he was about 15. And that particular coven is said to have broken up right around the time of World War II. And then Victor met his wife, Cora, and they moved to the San Francisco Bay Area, where they made their home until they eventually passed away. Victor died in 2001, and Cora died, I want to say, 2009. It might have been 2008. I'd have to check my notes. So that's what I'm talking about, is a particular initiatory tradition of witchcraft, of which I am an initiate and a teacher. And what distinguishes fairy from other forms of witchcraft, most notably Wicca, would be that our focus really isn't on gender magic at all. We don't really have a gendered type magic in our tradition, per se, because we also recognize that it's the person's soul. You know, Victor would say that the longer you work fairy, the more bisexual you would become. And I think that what he really probably meant by that is that this recognition that the soul itself has no gender, you know, that it's really just we are energy forms, we are pure consciousness, but we are housed, you know, in these bodies that have gender. And of course, now we're recognizing has gender on a spectrum. And that is really something that I find inspiring within fairy witchcraft tradition, is that we also have a place for that spectrum of gender. you know, our primary deity, who many refer to as the star goddess or God herself, is often described as being pre-gendered. I believe that that term came from Thorin Coyle, who was another priestess, you know, in the fairy tradition, and does some good social work in her own right with her group, Solar Cross. But she mentioned that the star goddess would be pre-gender, and then her child, the blue god, is post-gender. And so between them, we have this wide spectrum of gendered, non-binary possibilities within our own deity structure. And of course, fairy is rather nebulous as well, meaning that we have different creation myths. You know, there might have some similarities, but there's different creation myths. There's different deities, you know, that are called upon in different circles. We don't necessarily have, quote unquote, our own pantheon. You know, Victor said that fairy worships all the gods. So there's this quote that often gets misattributed to Victor, but it was actually me, who said that all gods are fairy gods. And
wow.
I actually believed for a long time that this was a quote from Victor. But then I was told, you know, by one of his initiates, no, that's not exactly what he said. But the sentiment was there, you know, that Victor had said, well, we worship all the gods, you know, so that it's not just that we have a particular pantheon that is ours and we don't stray from that. It's more about the individual and what spirits they are working with. So if you come into fairy, and I mean, there's some deities like the blue god that I mentioned that are pretty specifically fairy, although we can also find some cross-cultural expressions of that as well. Looking at Krishna is obviously at least in deep resonance with the fairy blue god. But let's say you come into our tradition and you have a deep relationship with Hecate, then you're going to keep working that, but just in a fairy way. And that fairy way will likely change over the years depending on the needs of the moment. So this is where it gets a little tricky sometimes with our tradition, because we're so accustomed to perceiving tradition as something that is tangible, something that can be reproduced kind of exactly perhaps. And that's not really our tradition. Our tradition is more experiential. It's much more about the energy, you know, that is passed between teacher and student, the intimacy that is generated between teacher and student, and just being able to work with different spirits in a quote-unquote fairy way. The name fairy, it said, became accidentally attached to our tradition, and this would have been through the early work of the late Gwydion Penthirwen, who was often referred to as the fairy bard, and he had a couple CDs out. He was a folk singer. But he was very steeped in Celtic lore of the British Isles, along with African voodoo as well. But I think it was probably through his intense interest specifically in Ireland and Wales and that type of fairy current that really kind of brought that more to the forefront of our tradition. And so it really was more about, I would say, what might be considered the original definition of fairy, which really just meant things of magic and enchantment. It didn't originally mean a race of people or a realm.
Wow.
And that kind of came later. So if you were having a magical encounter, which also was weird, there's also an element of eeriness to these otherworldly encounters. So if you had this otherworldly, eerie, magical encounter, it was a fairy encounter. And so that's how that kind of came about. And then some people who would then work with those types of energies, perhaps for healing, you know, you might think of them in some cultures as being like a cunning woman or a cunning man. In Ireland, they were often referred to as fairy doctors, you know, kind of like a witch doctor, right? And it was it was left a little nebulous, which is kind of my favorite word, you know, for fairy. You know, are they actually fairy beings? Or are they just in league with the fairy beings? But either way, you gave them a wide berth, because if you really studied the old lore of fairy magic, the fairies were not necessarily nice. In fact, some of them would hurt or even kill you.
Yes, I've heard that.
we suffer now from the cultural Disneyfication, you know, of fairy, in which we see like Tinkerbell, you know, flittering around with her pixie dust and good wishes for children and all that. And that's great. And some of the fairy beings can be like that. But most of them want nothing to do with us. And some of them do want us to work with them. And that's kind of where my particular connection to this work comes in. There are definitely fairy beings that are desperate for us to work with them because they represent the intelligence of the land, the hidden spiritual consciousness within the land. And we have been drifting away from them for so long. And it's really, we're at kind of the end of the terrestrial rope, it seems. You know, we have to make some hardcore changes now or never. And the fairy beings, at least the ones that I work with, tend to want us to become much more aware of our impact, you know, on the land and our relationship with the land spirits. We have this idea that somehow we have separated ourselves from nature, which is absolutely impossible. There is no such thing as a separation between humankind and nature. That separation is squarely in our ego and our consciousness. But we rely on nature every day. And I recognize this, of course, you know, just a little personal, you know, in California, you know, where it seems like our state bursts into flames, you know, every year.
Yeah.
And of course, we had a horrible fire last year. I mean, an entire town was destroyed.
Sure.
And that's not the first time, you know.
Nope.
Absolutely horrifying, you know. And then you start to recognize, wow, you know, this is what they mean when they say forces of nature. We've gotten so complacent, you know. So I think that we're obviously seeing a spike in these types of extreme weather conditions. Obviously, humankind has had a role with this. I'm not going to try to go back into politics, but hello, climate change is real. The fairy beings want us to recognize our relationship and our obligation. You know, there are some beliefs that the fairy beings are related. They're kind of the energetic mirror of humankind. You know, they are the intelligence that lives within the underworld. And there are some spiritual and religious beliefs that will see that when a human dies and goes into the earth, that perhaps then their soul becomes one of the fae. And then, and vice versa, you know, when a fairy dies, you know, perhaps born as a human. I'm not even saying that I subscribe to this because I don't have a lot of hardcore beliefs. I'm open to different ideas, you know, certainly. But to me, it's a mystery, a capital M mystery. And that's, I'm okay letting it just stay a mystery because I kind of feel that's probably the best. You know, the minute that we really try to pin it down and put it in rational terms, I think we've kind of lost it because, you know, I think only a portion of the universe can be conceptualized rationally, you know, and there's stuff beyond human consciousness and we need to be able to allow for that which is beyond. I'm not saying throw rationality out the window altogether, certainly not, but I'm saying keep in mind that it's only part of the equation.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree. when you say mysteries, you know, I'm Gardnerian because that's what I was raised as. But, you know, so mysteries are not lost on me when you say that because there's, and to be honest with you, Gardnerians get a really bad name because we're, allegedly secretive. We were secretive back in the day because people were hunting our asses. That's why we were secretive.
Thank you.
It's not because we think we're better. It's not because we think we're smarter. We're not. You know, this bad rap that I have gotten for years now because, you know, because somebody once said to me, you know, you're Gardnerian, and that kind of makes you the GOP of witchcraft. And I'm like,
oh, my goodness.
Fuck that.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Any Gardnerians building no walls, but thanks.
Oh, yeah.
That's really weird. But resonates so deeply with me. Years ago, before she died, my husband Chaz was interviewing Cora Anderson, and she was at this point, you know, in her sick bed in her home.
Yeah.
And one of the things that she said was that there were very few secrets in the fairy tradition. And this really kind of shocked a lot of people because there had been a culture of secrecy that had grown up within the fairy tradition. And in fact, the fairy tradition itself was often marketed to some people as a more secretive tradition. I often would see that, the secretive fairy tradition. But when I came in and got training, there really wasn't much talk about that. You know, there were certain things that were private, and that made sense. But when we talked to Cora, and we asked, well, then why, you know, why were things secret? Why did people say it's secret? And she said, well, in the 1950s, if people knew you were a witch, they'd throw rocks through your windows and they'd take your kids away. So we didn't tell them.
Exactly. They would tell you that you're crazy and they'd institutionalize you. You
exactly.
Know?
And that, when she said that, that just clicked into place for me. It was like, oh, this is for practicality. This is for protection.
Yeah.
But this is not the same world. We don't live in the same world now. At least I don't, you know, in the San Francisco Bay Area here in 2019. You know, I don't live with those same restrictions and fears. And so I am able to be more out there and visible in public. And so, and I was inspired early on by Lori Cabot, you know, who when I was a kid, I saw her on television. She was running for you know, for mayor of San It was, so, and I was like, what? This is a, I do. That's how old I am.
Oh my God. That's my ringtone. No kidding.
Oh my goodness. That's awesome.
It's the theme song.
I do remember that. Yeah, but that was back in the day. By seeing her, it really told me, hey, somebody, you can do this. You can be public, you know. And so that really kind of got ingrained in me. And again, part of my political activism is just to be as visible as possible, because I know not everybody can. And I'm not saying everybody should even try. You know, if you're called to it, that's one thing. If you're in a space where it's safe for you to do it, then that's one thing. But I'm never going to tell other people what they should do, you know. But here I am. You know, in the meantime, this is where I am. I can be more visible. I feel like that's doing, you know, some good work. And so that's where I'm going to be. But in terms of fairy tradition and secrecy, there were people that really just started putting more and more stuff in the secrecy box. And invariably, I started to see that that would also include individuals' behavior. And this is where you get that phrase, you're only as sick as your secrets, right?
Secrets.
Because then there is this weirdness and often to do with sexuality, you know, that gets thrown in to this secret box, and then it starts to become corrupted. And so there are practitioners, you know, today who are very kind of ingrained in that secrecy. And I've been very much a target, you know, for that because I am so public. And that used to really bother me. That used to really hurt my feelings. Now I just feel like, no, it just means that I'm doing good work. You know, I wasn't pissing somebody off, then that's just kind of boring at this point. So I'm going to keep doing what I'm going to do.
Me. There you go. I need my haters. Yes, I do. My haters keep me strong, and my haters keep me motivated, honey.
You know, I often think of them now as my number one fans. They just don't know how to express it properly. So, there's certain people that always show up in the blogosphere, you know, when I post something or, you know, like, this rage. I'm like, and again, it used to bother me, but now I'm like, okay, that just comes with the territory now, you know? That's part of being visible.
It is. And it's important to be visible whenever possible. I totally agree with you. But you know, I think part of the gatekeeping bullshit and all of this is because everybody wants to think that they're in an exclusive club, and none of us are in an exclusive club, dude. Not anymore. We're all public. We're all out there. And guess what? The mysteries, there are certain things, there are certain terms that have more than one meaning. Mysteries happens to be one of them. But mysteries doesn't mean I'm trying to keep a secret from you just to be an asshole. It means...
Well,
I don't know is what is sometimes all that it means. I just don't know. You know?
Yeah. Well, that doesn't sound as cool, though, if you're going to tell something, you know, you have to be, oh, well, I do know, but that's a third degree secret. And I'm going to now draw the veil. Right. So a little gets, I just feel like, are people really falling for that still? You know, I don't know. I mean, and here's the thing, there are, there are secrets. There are certain things, and notice I'm using a different word. Secrets is not the same as mystery. But there are certain secrets that I was passed, you know, at my initiation. and I pledge to keep those things secret. And they go along with the mystery being
right.
the experience. You know, the secrets would then just be like the information, you know, that is given along
yeah.
with the experience, you know. But, you know, for example, I could give you the secrets. I could give everybody the fairy secrets if I wanted to. I'm not,
mm-hmm.
but I could, and it wouldn't ruin the fairy tradition. It would go
right.
on as normal, you know, whatever. And people wouldn't be able to do anything with it because they wouldn't have any experiential context for putting
right.
that, you know, information into use. But, you know, this whole idea, oh, my God, it has to be secret, it has to be secret. I see it more as the velvet rope syndrome. You know, it's
yeah.
like, oh, we're in a cool club, and it took me so long to get here, and I had to push the bus uphill both ways in the snow, and now these rotten whippersnappers are just finding teachers online, and, you know, whatever. And, you know, it's just,
right.
I see it a lot of just, like, kids get
yeah.
off my lawn, you know, kind of mentality.
Yeah.
And
definitely.
I'm not here for it. I'm just not here for it.
It's. I mean, I know everybody wants to feel cool, but by the same token, when you're trying to build community, it's about commonality. I'm not trying to rob you of your essence and your individuality. Guess what?
Yeah.
Right.
We can agree on every single thing that we discuss, but we're still going to be individuals. Guess what?
Right.
That doesn't go away just because a group of people agree. And people
yeah.
get very freaked out.
And
it's
if
like,
it,
no,
and if
I'm
it
a,
does,
I'm a snowflake.
That's a concern.
I'm a snowflake, damn you. Oh, I'm special. No, bitch, you're
but
not special.
But I would say if you get a group of people together and they all kind of homogenize and they do agree, to me, that's more of a concern. Because to me, that sounds like a cult.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
and I've certainly, I've experienced layers of that even in fairy tradition. In fact, I wrote an article for the upcoming, I think it's the upcoming, it's all a blur now, but the I think it's the 2020 Llewellyn Witch's Companion. I wrote an
yeah.
article. It's all about kind of how to determine, you know, is it a coven or is it a cult? You know, here's some red flags and some green flags, you know, to look for. Because I went through my personal experience, you know, of being targeted by some of the more, we'll say, extremist, you know, fundamentalist members, you know, of the fairy tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it was painful at the time, but it was such a beautiful learning experience, you know, in the long run. You know, I do feel like I've been able to really kind of level up, so to speak, you know, through having to deal with that. And so I have this insight where I recognized, hey, there is this part of our tradition that is acting really culty. And so it gave me, once I had that realization, I was able to speak to it. And the whole idea of speaking truth to power, you know, it really
yeah.
kind of set
yeah.
the course in my, not only my career within fairy, but also kind of lit a fire under me in terms of just being hyper aware of that kind of cult mentality. And so one
yeah.
of the things that's often, you know, that often if you study cults, you know, usually there is a charismatic person, you know, who is at the core, at the center, you know, of it. And I've been told that I'm a charismatic person. So, and I will often think like, oh, they started off good. You know, like Jim Jones,
mm-hmm.
he actually did good social
yeah.
work before Jonestown. You know, he was really
yeah.
progressive and, you know, race relations. And, you know, there was a lot of good stuff here in the San Francisco Bay Area. And then he went wackadoodle. You know, so one of the things that I
yeah.
often keep in mind is anybody can go to the dark side. You know, so just
sure.
because I'm kind of in this space now, you know, doesn't mean that I'm safe. You know, and so
right.
I just,
mm-hmm.
I am a spiritual teacher. I have several initiates and students. And our Black Rose Witchcraft Online School currently has more than 400 members, you know. And so
wow.
there is at least that ability, you know, people kind of sometimes want to defer authority to you. And so it's something
yes.
that I keep in mind, you know, that this is not something that I have the luxury of, you know, not thinking about. You know, we have to keep following our practice. We have to keep ourselves aligned. We have to keep questioning our own motivations because we don't want to go to that dark space. And I've seen that happen, you know, just, you know, here in the San Francisco Bay Area, I've seen that happen, you know, in pagan groups.
Yeah.
And it's very easy because we are kind of a disorganized religion and there's a
mm-hmm.
lot of people that are looking for guidance and not
mm-hmm.
a lot of people who are qualified to give it. but there are a little bit more people who are still going to step up and offer it anyway. You know, and so you really have to be careful.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So my advice, when people come to me and they want to train with me, my advice to them is talk to some of my students, you know, look at my online stuff, stalk me online, you know, see what I've been doing for years, you know, see all the things, and then decide if that's what you want to do, because I don't want to have to be a salesperson for myself, you know, and also, you know, we all have blinders. You know, and so I think it would be better if, you know, you, hey, figure it out yourself. You know, again, my life is pretty transparent. You can see what I've been doing. That's the reason I've been as transparent as I am. And, talk to my students. Figure it out. See what their experiences are. Not all of my students have been happy. I've had to fire students over the years, you know, personality conflicts and whatnot. Luckily, that is very minor, very minimal. But that does exist, you know, so it's not all just everybody has drank the Kool-Aid, you know, so talk to those people too and get a sense of who they are and what their perspectives are. I think that's really important to get, you know, the whole picture.
Oh, I agree. That's brilliant, actually. And a lot of people will not tell you to do that because they'll say, well, you know, some people have sour grapes, but I mean, honestly, I stopped reading tarot because people are so willing to abdicate responsibility for themselves and just give over power. They just don't want to be responsible.
Yeah.
It's like, no, we're not doing this.
And I hear that too, though. There are days I don't want to be responsible for me. You know, there are definitely days sometimes it's okay. You know, we can certainly have times where I'm not going to adult. You know, one other little saying, you know, from my nerdy childhood was from the classic Doctor Who. And the fourth doctor, being accused of being childish, said, well, what's the point of being grown up if you can't be childish sometimes? And that is kind of like one of my spiritual philosophies, you know, not that I'm in space all the time, but sometimes it's important. You know, and in fairy tradition, we would say that that's like paying attention to your fetch. You know, it's like your lower soul, your primal soul, you know, and so we want to honor our fetch, you know, fetch is all about our drives and our desires. You know, fetch is your inner kid, your inner animal, wants to have fun, wants to eat and have sex and sleep and get tummy rubs and, you know, all those things that just feel good, you know. And I think that in our life, in our busy life, we sometimes forget attention to that and to recognize that that is part of our spiritual makeup as well. We need to be able to bodies well. Self-care is sexy. This is very important.
Yeah.
Very, very important.
Well,
oh, great.
Speaking of something that's not sexy, we are down to 2 minutes.
Are you shitting me?
No, I'm not. I wish I was. Trust me.
Oh, no.
Boo.
All right. Well, okay. I hope you had a good time because I believe I can speak for both of us when I say we did.
absolutely
yes.
Love you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. That's very kind.
I do. I love the way you look at things. Yes. I love the sound of your voice. Are you kidding? I don't care.
Yeah.
I will tell you
honestly, I am a 35-year-old gay man trapped in the body of a 57-year-old bisexual woman.
She's not lying.
I'm really not. Should have been a man. Should have been a gay man. But anyway. All right.
Well, maybe next
so
time
I
around.
Will, maybe I already did, and I'm just feeling fond memories. That could be it, too. So.
Oh, there you go.
Thank you so much for coming on. Yeah. Storm Fairy Wolf links are on our show page. Please check him out. He has written tons of things. He has a blog, he's a poet, he's a teacher, he does it all. As I said, true Renaissance man. Storm Fairy Wolf, I have been honored by your presence. Thank you so, so much.
The honor is mine.
Thank you
so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Have a wonderful night. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
He's wonderful.
I love him. I know. You saw me fangirl. But there was a reason. I know.
Yep.
Go ahead, talk us off, sweetie.
All right. Yes, we got to wrap up, but I hope you all have a great weekend. I hope you enjoyed the show. We enjoyed talking to you and talking to Storm. And we will be kicking off next week for Sis's birthday.
Yay!
Yay! Happy birthday.
Yay!
Oh my gosh. We will talk to you all soon. And we love you. Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody. Good night.